So Kadaf Gimel Amud Aleph, the Taptosis, the Yomaschil and Nitzchil, the Kitonis Shelbo. To review the background of the Gemara had quoted a Brisa and furthering the discussion of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah that's taller than 20 amos is kosher, brought a proof from Hilni Amalka, who was a famous Giyor ascetic in the days of the Bayis Sheni, and as the Brisa states, called Vareh Lo'asa Lepi Chachamim, she always followed the rabbis. They visited a sukkah, didn't say anything, must be that a sukkah that's taller than 20 amos is kosher. Chacham counter that she was a woman and therefore she was Purim in a sukkah. That's why they didn't say anything. And to Rabbi Yehuda's objection, but she had children, seven children, and at least one or more of them were Hagia L'chinuch, and then they were Chayiv in sukkah, at least made the Rabbanan, and the Chacham still didn't say anything. So the Chachamim, as the Gemara continues, would have to counter that the children were sitting in somehow a kosher part of the sukkah, and only she, Hilni Amalka herself, was sitting in the non-kosher part of the sukkah. So are there any exceptions to the rule such that a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos can be kosher, such that we could have a discussion that the children were sitting in a kosher part of the sukkah and only she was sitting in the non-kosher part of the sukkah? So the Gemara had raised the point based on the various amoraim on the previous amud, on base and base. To recall, there was an opinion stated by Rav Huna in the name of Rav that at the sukkah, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, is in between 7 by 7 tefachim and 4 amos. So then if it's higher than 20 amos, you have the machlokas to Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim as to whether it's kosher or pasul. But if it's greater than 4 by 4 amos, so then everyone would hold that it's kosher. Then we had the opinion of Rav Chanan bar Rabba in the name of Rav, that if it's an absolute minimal sukkah of 7 by 7 tefachim and it's higher than 20 amos, then you have the machlokas to Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim as to whether it's kosher or pasul. But if it's greater than 7 by 7 tefachim, then everyone would agree that it's kosher. So how did those various opinions work out with the story of Hilni Hamalka? So the Gemara in Gilmud Aleph states that if you say, like the first opinion of the Amoraim on Beis and Beis, that it doesn't have to do with size in terms of whether or not everyone's going to agree that higher than 20 amos the sukkah is kosher, but if the walls of the sukkah reach the schach, then everyone would hold its pasul. Then everyone would hold that it's kosher. But if the walls of the sukkah don't reach the schach, then you'll have the machlokas in Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. That was the review of Rabbi Yoshia. So there we could see the discussion of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim having a machlokas as to whether or not the silence of the Chachamim about this 20 amos sukkah was or was not a raya to the kashrus of it, because it's the derech of a malka to have, so to speak, air conditioning in the sukkah, that there'll be space for air to flow in, so that it's quite likely that the walls of the sukkah didn't necessarily reach the schach, and hence, since the walls didn't reach the schach, it's a machlokis, and that's exactly the discussion of Yehuda and the Chachamim, as to whether or not we could prove in the silence of the Chachamim in the days of Hilni Amalka as to whether it's kosher or not. But according to those who hold that the machlokas is only about a sukkah ktana, some kind of small sukkah, then you have a machlokas. Get to the details later, whether it's a small sukkah, it's a 4x4 amma sukkah, or whether it's a 7x7 tefach sukkah. But if it's a big sukkah, so then everyone would agree that it's kosher. So according to that view, so why is there this discussion over here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim as to whether or not you could prove from the silence of the sages in her generation, but they didn't say anything, that her sukkah was pasul, whether or not you could prove from the silence that the sukkah is kosher or not. But a malka, chidarka shel melech leishi b'sukkah ktana, she was a queen, so presumably the sukkah was very wide, much wider than 4 amos, and certainly much wider than 7x7 tefachim. So in that case, according to those Hamaroyim, it's kosher according to everyone. So why are the Chachamim objecting to Rabbi Yehuda and saying, no, that sukkah was really pasul, except she was sitting in the pasul part and the children were sitting in the kosher part? How could that be? But if it's a large sukkah, everyone should hold it's kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't be able to bring a proof to his view. And the Rabbanan shouldn't have to give the sukkimta that the children were sitting in a kosher part. So that's what the Gemara asks, and it answers that there was a very large sukkah, and she had an individual chamber, which the Gemara calls a kitonis, and for tznius purposes, and that small chamber was not more than 4 by 4 amos, or at first glance, according to Rav Chanan bar Rabbah, not more than 7 by 7 tefachim. So that's basically the shakla of Tarya of the Gemara, and the Chachamim held that the children were sitting in the rest of the sukkah, the wide part of the sukkah, which was kosher according to everybody. And Rabbi Huda insisted that her children were sitting with her in the smaller part of it, which would be subject to the debate of Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim and Rabbi Huda bar Araya, since they didn't say anything, hey, the children are sitting with you. That's a problem. The fact that they didn't say anything implies that even that's kosher, even though it was smallish, higher than 20 amos, and the silence of the Chachamim proves their complacence, that they agreed with her. So Rashi has a kasha. If we follow Rav Huna Amar Rav's approach that the small sukkah about which the Rehuda and the Chachamim debate whether it could be higher than 20 amos or not is a sukkah that's maximally 4 by 4 amos, and if it's wider than 4 by 4 amos, then everyone would agree that it's kosher. So then we could be dealing with a sukkah, in the case of Eli and Malka, that was wider than 4 by 4 amos, and she had a little chamber which was 4 by 4 amos or less, but let's say it was 4 by 4 amos, and her part would be subject to the debate of Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim, and the wider part would be kosher according to all. And then we have the debate as to whether the sons were sitting in the kosher part or whether they're sitting with her. But at least a 4 by 4 amos sukkah, theoretically, her sons could fit in it together with her. Her seven sons could fit in it together with her. If you go like the approach of Rav Huna Amar Rav, that it's about the 4 by 4 amos sukkah that the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda are debating. But according to Rav Chanan bar Rabbah, in the name of Rav, that the debate revolves around a sukkah that's 7 by 7 tefachim. 7 by 7 tefachim is tiny. So Rashi's struggling with how could Rav Yehuda maintain that the sons were sitting with her, but you can't fit seven sons together with the mother in a sukkah that's only 7 by 7 tefachim, what a square tefach for each person. So first Rashi engages in some kind of gymnastics here, trying to somehow squeeze in the head and the majority of each son. And then in the end, he says that you're right, according to Rav Chanan bar Rabbah, this doesn't make sense, and it's a kash on him. And this answer that the Gemara is giving about that she sat in a smallish kind of sukkah, and her guest sat in the other sukkah, and then debating where the children sat. That's talking about a Rav Huna kind of sukkah of 4 by 4 amos. It works according to him. It doesn't work according to Rav Chanan bar Rabbah. So on that Rashi, Tosis now comments. Masha dachak bekontris l'Rav Chanan bar Rabbah. That which Rashi was struggling according to Rav Chanan bar Rabbah, ma raya l'Rav Yehuda. How did Rav Yehuda bring a proof, assuming that the sons were sitting with her and the Chachamim in her days who were silent, and their silence implies that it was a kosher sukkah? So Rashi comments, you cannot fit seven other people together with the mother in seven tefachim. That which Rashi struggled with that, and in the end gives up and says, indeed, it's difficult according to Rav Chanan bar Rabbah. The Tosafot said it's not a difficulty. And we can answer Rashi's kasha. Lav pirchei, it's not a difficulty. The dilma arucha tuva. So maybe the sukkah was very long. And here on the margin, they add in the word ella from the Magen Ram, the Taz, and they were machaving to the Tosafot Rashi who has that word ella to read it together again. The dilma arucha tuva. That maybe was very long. It was 7 tefachim wide, but it was very, very long. So it was narrow, but very long. So if you have such a sukkah, then you could fit as many people as you need. And the children were able to fit in lengthwise, even though the width was very narrow, but you could certainly fit in the children with the length. So with that, even Rav Chanan bar Rabbah could understand this story with Hilni Hamalka, again, that Rebbe Yehuda would bring a raya from the fact that the Chachamim was silent, that her sons were with her, and it was higher than 20 amos, that a sukkah was kosher, and according to the Chachamim, it's not a raya because they felt that the Chachamim were in the larger part of the sukkah, not in the Kitonis, and therefore it's not a proof. The Gemara had quoted a statement by the Amora of Shmuel by Yitzchak, that the halacha is that the minimum size of a sukkah is to say machzekes rosho v'rubo v'shulchano, which the Gemara elsewhere states is 7 by 7 tefachim. And the Gemara seems to conclude that that follows the view of Beis Shammai, because Beis Hillel holds the sukkah only has to be 6 by 6 tefachim. It does not have to be able to fit the table. It only has to be able to fit Rosh Urubo. And but nonetheless, v'lo tazmina, we follow Beishamai that the sukkah has to be 7 by 7 tefachim. So just rather than pausing in the middle of the Tosafot, just to give a little bit of extra background here. The Gemara here then references the Mishnah, the Chochesh Amar Aleph, that if you have someone who is inside a sukkah and his table is outside the sukkah, let's say inside the house or totally outside, that in such a case, Beishamai say not yotze, because we're worried that you're going to foul the table and you're going to eat outside and not be yotze. And Beisil say we don't make such a gzeira. And as long as you're careful to eat inside, you are yotze. So the Gemara then records the story, the Mishnah records the story, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Charani was ill, one of the Tanoim, and the Ziknei Beishamai Beisil visited him. And Beisil say that they didn't say anything. So that's a proof that you are yotze. And then Beishamai counter that no, they did say something. And they told him you're not yotze the mitzvah at all if that's what you were doing. So our Gemara is medayik from the phraseology of that Mishnah, that Mishnah is primarily talking about a sukkah gedola, namely that it has a full shear and it's able to theoretically fit a table, but the table happens to be outside. That's one machlokus. And there's an additional machlokus as to whether or not the minimum shear of a sukkah is 6 by 6 tefachim, which is the view of Beis Hillel, or 7 by 7 tefachim, which is the view of Beis Shammai. Which revolves around whether the minimum shear includes the possibility of having even a very small table inside. 7 by 7 tefachim includes fitting the table, and 6 by 6 does not require being able to fit a table inside. So the Bishayim is still arguing about both a sukkah ktana and a sukkah gdola. Part of the discussion of Tosis is going to be that we definitely paskin like Bishamai, but to be only paskin like Bishamai concerning the sukkah ktana, although we even pass like Beis Shammai concerning that gzeira, concerning a sukkah gdola. So Tos begins, B'sei de Rav Amram, Pasach b'shisha makomos halacha ke Beis Shammai. In the, presumably the Siddur of Rav Amram Gaon, must be in an introduction or something. So he passed that in 6 places we follow Beis Shammai. Chada, hai de sukkah tzricha shetehei machzekes rosha v'rubo v'shulchono. The sukkah has to be able to hold his head and the majority of his body and the shulchan, meaning 7 by 7 tefachim. So now Tosis, once he's quoting a Ramagon, just lists the other 5 places, even though it's not directly relevant to Masech Tzedakah. So we'll go through Ve'idach, Be'menachos, Perakat Cheles. The second one is in Masech Tzedakah in Perakat Cheles, which is the tangentially deals with the mitzvos of Tzitzis and Tefillin and Sefer Torah, Mezuzah. Gabe Sadin Mitzitzis, concerning a linen garment. There's a sadin, literally a sheet, but the Mefarshim explain to dealing with linen garment. So are you supposed to put tzitzis on it? The problematic issue is the tcheles, because the tcheles has to be wool. And by putting it on, it's going to be a problem of shatness. So we have Beishamai Potrin, who is Hillel Mechayvin. The Beishamai hold that you don't put on tzitzis, and Beis Hillel hold that you do. There's a whole discussion based on the Gemara and the Rishonim, as to whether or not Beishamai hold you don't put any tzitzis on, not the blue and not the white, even though the white theoretically could be linen and then it wouldn't have a problem of shatness. Or that that they only exempt you from putting on the blue wool, but the white you would put on because that could be linen. Basil Mechayvin, simply speaking, we still hold that you put it on, even with the wool, tcheles. And even though it's shatness, but we derive from psukim, and that's the classic example of a seidah halosase, that it's not a problem of shatness, but it's an override concerning the mitzvah of tzitzis. So Rav Amram going is paskening, like Beishamai, that it's pater. Again, 2 different versions, and we're showing him how to understand the words of Beishamai. Oh, the sham, kamachutin unosein. How many strings are you supposed to put in the tzitzis? Also in Menachos. Beishamai Amri Dalit. Beishamai say you put in 4 strings. Again, big discussion about how many of those strings are tcheles and how many of them are lovon. So it's 4 strings that are folded over, then become 8. We say Lomrim Gimel. You take 3 strings and fold it over, become 6. So there again, we pass on like Beishamai. As well known, the tzitzis we have 4, which become 8. Od Hasam. So that was the third psak like Beishamai. Now you have the fourth psak like Beishamai. Orasam kamatei mishul shalas. It's according to the Gerse, the Tosa says, Mishalshelis, sounds like lower, the language of Shalshel, to lower. Another Gerse says, Mishaleshes, how much is it? How much is the third? So, Vishami Omrim Dalid, Vesel Lamrim Gimel. So, there's a three-way machlokas Rishonim, that's exactly how to read that Gemara there. Dalid refers to Dalid at Tzvos, the size of four fingers, which is a Tefach. Vesel Lamrim Gimel refers to three at Tzvos. And the discussion there is how long does the tzitzis have to be? So the three shittos, whether it's totality of the tzitzis has to be four etzvos or three etzvos, whether the part that's wound with the krichos, which is called the gedil, whether that's what has to be four or three, and then the anaf, which is the unwound part, has to be double that because the Gemara says in the Menachos that the gedil, the wound part, is a third of a third, and the unwound part is two thirds. Well, whether it's talking about only the anaf, that has to be four or three, in which case the gedil would then be two or one and a half. So in Shulchan Aruch, various opinions are quoted. So Beishami has a longer shear. So there, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, there we pass on like Beishami. So that is case number four. Continuing to case number five, v'idach m'sech the brachas perak el dvarim v'sham yomim mechavdim es habayis v'achach noten liyadayim. At the end of a meal, whether he wants to first brush the table off from the crumbs of bread and then to wash mayim achronim, which is Beishami's view, or vice versa. So first wash your hands, but you can first wash your hands and then take away the crumbs. Chlokas revolving around whether we're worried that the water is going to spritz on the crumbs and therefore you'll have hefset ochlin, that the bread's going to be ruined tonight. And the Gemara says over there in the eighth parak of Masechta Brachos, Bechulei Pirkin Halacha Beis Hillel, and many debates there, to Misham Beis Hillel. The Halacha is always like Beis Hillel, Bar Meach, except for that one that you're supposed to brush off the table and only then to wash the Mayim Achron. Od Hasam, and finally the sixth, also in that parak, Besov Pirka, Gabi Misha Ochal. Yeah, I think in the margin they some changed the girsa to not Veshasa but Veshochach. Misha Ochal Veshochach Velo Beirach. He had a meal and didn't bench in the proper place. He didn't bench where he ate. So it's a famous machlokas. So Beishami say you have to return to your original place, and Beisil say there's no need to return to your original place. The Maisi Gemara Uvda de Rabba Bar Bar Chana. The Gemara quotes the story of Rabba Bar Chana, the Ashkech Yonah de Dava, that he found the golden dove. He was traveling on a shiara and he had forgotten to bench b'mkomo, and he knew that if you would tell him to stop, they would tell him, "What's the big deal? You could pray to your God anywhere." So he made up a story that I forgot a golden dove, and they said, "Oh, if you forgot a golden dove, we'll wait for you." So he ran back to the place, he benched, and indeed an ace occurred, and he found the golden dove. And then the Gemara continues with additional stories. V'chad Talmid Da'avid Ke Beis Shammai, V'ashkech Arniki. There was a student that followed Beis Shammai's view to return to the place of benching, and he found the wallet. V'idach Talmid, and a different student, Da'avid Ke Beis Hillel, who followed Beis Hillel. The Gemara points out that he followed Beis Hillel even though he was amazed, and he deliberately had moved this place, switched this place. And even Beis Hillel agreed that in that kind of situation, you have to return. V'achle Aryeh. And a lion ate him. So those stories seem to indicate that the Gemara seems to be siding with Beis Shammai, based on the story of Rabba Bar Chana and the two Talmidim. So interesting that sort of Amram brings a raya from that halacha is like Beis Shammai. Other Rishonim, such as the Rambam, were not convinced that those are they acted in Midas Chassidus, an act of piety, but the halacha is actually still like Beis Hillel. Okay, so those are the six cases that Rav Amram states that we pass him like Beishamai. So on this last psak of Rav Amram, that the halacha is like Beishamai, that you have to return to the place that you originally had eaten in order to bench, the Tos is a difficulty in that psak. Uksas kasha hada kam rahasam v'chulei pirkin halacha Beis Hillel bar me'ach. That the halacha is like Beis Hillel in all the various debates that appear in the eighth parak, except for the case of washing before clearing the table, or clearing the table for washing, that we passing like Beis Shammai, that you have to clear the table for washing. And it sounds like all the other debates, and one of the debates is about returning to your place for benching. So it sounds like we follow Beis Hillel. So how could Rav Amram say, based on those stories, that we pass like Beis Shammai, but the Gemara implies that we only pass like Beis Hillel in that perek in one of the cases, namely the discussion about whether you're supposed to clear the table first and then wash or vice versa. The Tosis answers, Mishem, the Beis Hillel, Nami, Modu, the Lechatchila, Mihav, Dinan, that maybe that the Gemara didn't focus on, because even Beis Hillel agree that Lechatchila, that at the outset, at any rate, you do have to follow Beis Shammai, and therefore, the Psak that we actually follow Beis Shammai is not really such a difference between Beis Hillel's view, because Beis Hillel agreed that Lechatchila is supposed to return. So following Beis Shammai, even though Rav Amram going, it sounds like you follow Beis Shammai, as the Torah and others explained, that even b'di'eved, you're not Yotze, but the difference between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is not so pronounced, because even Beis Hillel and Lechatchila you have to go back, so therefore the Psak like Beis Shammai is not so pronounced, and therefore the Gemara didn't speak about it. This line of Tosis that Beis Hillel say that Lechatchila you have to go back seems to be a little difficult, because the sugya there seems to imply directly that Beis Hillel hold that is not that Yivarechem Komo, that it's totally acceptable to bench in place. Again, the Gemara makes a distinction between Mezid and Shogeg, that with Mezid you have to go back, and the Shogeg you don't have to go back. So it's likely, and that's what other Rishonim state there explicitly, that the Lechatchila of Tosis here doesn't really mean Lechatchila, which is a halachic requirement on the outset, but more on the status of mitzvah min hamuvchar, that it's ideal to go back. So since it's just an allowance that you don't have to. So since even Beis Hillel say it's a proper thing to do, even though it's not obligated to go back in the case of Shogeg, so passing like Beis Shammai, again, as we said, is not such a drastic change from Beis Hillel. Tosis now proceeds to ask on this psak that the halacha is like Beis Shammai, that we require a sukkah to be 7 by 7 tefachim, enough to hold Rosh HaVeruva v'Shulchano, from the Gemara and Brachos. So Tosis says as follows: V'al masha pasak b'hach d'hocha k'Beis Shammai, that which the b'hach paskin like Beis Shammai, ein l'hakshos me'ha d'amrinan perakama de Brachos. One should not ask from that which it says in the first parak of Brachos. D'amar of Yosef. The Gemara has a machlokas amroim there, and the view of Rav Yosef is asa k'divrei Beis Shammai lo asa v'lo klum, that if one follows Beis Shammai where they have a debate with Beis Hillel, so you don't say that b'di'eved or that it's valid, but rather lo asa v'lo klum. You did not act halachically in accordance with the proper halacha, and therefore you're not yotzei. You'd have to do the mitzvah again, and whatever the context is. Umaisi raya me'ahi milsa de sukkah, and the Gemara proves, in accordance with the view of Rav Yosef, that if you follow Beis Shammai, it's as if you didn't do anything, you weren't yotzei. From the matter of sukkah, Maisa ber Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni. This is the Mishnah that we quoted earlier on the Chav Ches. Story of Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni, Shechola, then he was sick. V'holchu ziknei Beis Shammai v'ziknei Beis Hillel v'akro. So the elders of both yeshivot came to visit him. U'mitzau shayoshev rosh v'ruba v'sukkah, that he and the majority of his body were in the sukkah. V'shulchano v'soch habayis, and the table was in the house. So Amar lo ziknei Beis Shammai. And after Beis Hillel proved their case from the fact that the Zakenim were silent, so Beis Shammai counters that no, that they weren't silent. Amar lo ziknei Beis Shammai, imkein ha'isa noeg, this was your practice, kol yamecha, all your days, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah kol yamecha, that you have not fulfilled the mitzvah sukkah all the days of your life. U'maskinan hasan, again, this is the girsa that of that Gemara that our version of Tosis has. We don't have it in the Gemara in Brachos, what he's about to quote. The Maskin and Hasam. And the Gemara concludes, the halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni, that the halacha follows the practice of Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni, that it's perfectly acceptable to have the. So according to this Gersa, the Maharam actually has two Gersos in our Tosis, whether he has that line about that the Gemara concludes that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni or not. So we'll go with the line since it appears in our Tosis. So Tosis' approach as of now is that we're trying to prove that if you follow Beis Shammai that loss of lokalum, that it's not even good b'di'evet. And they proved this in that story, that even though Beis Shammai actually rebuked Rabbi Yochanan ben Charani and says, you were not Yossi Suk at all. So it sounds like proving the opposite, that if you follow Beis Hillel, it's invalid. But since the Gemara concludes, the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan Charani, that we follow Rabbi Yochanan Charani, so somehow that's, at least that's the way Tosafos is assuming now, that that proves the point that if you follow Beis Shammai, you're not Yossi. So here's Tosafos Kasha, that the conclusion of the Gemara is that we follow Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni, in which case the table's allowed to be outside the sukkah. So that's like Beis Hillel. So here we have Rav Amram going and saying we follow Beis Shammai, and there the Gemara paskins like Beis Hillel. Tosafos answers that he plucked the besukkah gedola, that machlokas there concerning Rabbi Yochanan and Acharoni's sukkah. That's talking about a big sukkah where the table's outside. Kidemaskinan, as our Gemara concludes, as we stated in an introduction, the Vitarti Pligi, that the Rishon and Mishamai arguing about two situations. A sukkah ktana, what is the minimum shear of a sukkah, whether it's 6 by 6 or 7 by 7 tefachim, and a sukkah gedola, however big it is, but that the table has to be in there or does not have to be inside the sukkah. So concerning a sukkah gedola, be'ahi halacha kebeis Hillel. There where the Gemara says, halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharoni, that's where the sukkah gedola, there's no absolute requirement for the table to be inside the sukkah. Halacha. But over here, the Psak of Rav Amram going is about a sukkah ktana. Concerning that, halacha is like Beis Shammai. So according to what Tosafos is saying now, there's a split psak that even though Beis Shammai is still arguing about two kinds of sukkahs, what's the minimum size of a sukkah? That's called sukkah ktana. And whatever size the sukkah is, does the table have to be inside the sukkah or not? That's called sukkah gedola. So he assumes that Rav Amram going is only passing like Beis Shammai concerning a sukkah ktana. That's to be 7 by 7 tefachim. Large enough to at least theoretically be able to fit a table, but concerning the actuality of having to have a table in the sukkah, there we pass on like Beis Hillel, namely that's called the sukkah gedola, as evidenced by the Gemara Brachos. So now Tosafos gets stuck though that the Gemara in Brachos doesn't seem to work out well in terms of what Rav Yosef started out by saying and what they tried to prove from the story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharoni's sukkah. Miu, however, Shmait and the Hossam, that Gemara in Brachos, Tema, this is very difficult. Hey, chidiyek mina, the osa kevei shamai, lo osa v'lo klum. How do we infer from that story that if you follow be shamai, it's if you did nothing, and you would say, the raya de maisi, the osa kevei selo mairi. It's the proof that they bring is talking about we follow be selo, because Yochanan Acharoni had this table outside the sukkah, which is like be selo. So if anything, you should prove from there that if you follow be selo, you're not yotzei, since that's exactly what the sages of be shamai said to him, that if that's what your practice was, you weren't Yotze at all. So it seems to be proving the opposite. Here you're trying to, Riosis, they're trying to prove on behalf of Rav Yosef that if you follow Beis Shammai, it's as if you did nothing, and the quote a story following Beis Hillel as if you did nothing. And presumably, to add a little bit, in fact, the Tosis is asking this, so it's a little bit of a proof that maybe the line we had earlier maybe shouldn't be in the Tosis, where he says that the Gemara concludes that the halacha is like Rav Yochanan Acharoni. But even if we have that, because if we do have that line, so then maybe that's the proof. But the one could suggest that even if you have that line, but it still doesn't seem to prove the point, because saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharoni does not necessarily imply that if you follow the other view, namely the view of Beis Shammai, as if you did nothing. So that's Tosafos' first kasha that on that sugya and brachos itself. We're trying to prove of Yosef's view that if you follow Beis Shammai, as if you did nothing, and we quote a story that at first glance seems to be saying that if you follow Beis Hillel, you did nothing. And then Tosafos has another kasha on that gemara. Ode v'chitzorech raya al zeh heicha dehalacha kebeis Hillel shem osa kebeis Shammai lo'osa v'lo klum. Why do you need to state a proof of that? Do you need a proof that if the halacha follows Beis Hillel, that if you follow Beis Shammai, that it's not good b'di'evit? It's like a case where Beis Hillel amul machmer and Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel hold that you need a certain requirement in order to be Yotze, let's say a certain mitzvah, and Beis Shammai hold that you don't need that requirement. So, lo'osa v'lo klum would mean that if you don't follow Beis Hillel, you're not Yotze. So that's what Tosafos asks. Isn't it obvious that if you don't follow the halacha, then you're not Yotze? The halacha is like Beis Hillel, and you follow Beis Shammai, so even b'di'evit is no good. So, in answer to these questions, Tosafos answers as follows. Tzorach lomar, one must say, in a situation where Beis Hillel are stringent, not on a Torah level, but only on a rabbinic level. Uveselel mukmilada, in other words, Veselel makes some kind of gzeira de rabbanon, siog de rabbanon. Uveshamai mukmila adaraisa, and Veshamai keep the law as it was on a Torah level. So we have Veshamai being lenient to follow the Torah law, and Veselel make an additional safeguard. So one might have thought that in such a case, at least b'di'evit, if you follow the Torah law of Beishamai without the safeguard given by Beiselel, that you yotze v'lo gazrino nim'asa k'dir Beishamai lo yotze de'chavaso afilo de'oraisa. And we don't make a decree that if you follow Beishamai, at least b'di'evit, that you're not yotze even on a Torah level. That's what you might have thought. That when Beishamai holds something good in a Torah and Beiselel make a siog, that it's no good me the Rabbanan, we would have thought, okay, the fact that you weren't Yotze, that the Rabbanan enhancement, and then you might have to do the mitzvah again, okay, because you didn't follow that rabbinic enhancement. But that at least you should be Yotze on a Torah level, that's what you would have thought. So that's what they prove from the story of Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni, that that's not the case. It continues, Kida Ashkechon Levei Shammai, Hecha de Yosef Apischa de Metalalta, that we are sitting on the entranceway of the Sukkah, and the tables outside the sukkah. The Gazri Shemi Yamashech Ashulchanu. Here the tables are turned, pardon the pun, that the Shammai is the one who's Machmir. Beis Hillel followed a Torah law that as long as you're totally in the sukkah, the fact that your table's outside, we don't make a gzeira that you're going to follow the table, and therefore your Yotze as long as you're inside the sukkah. Beis Shammai do make the gzeira. The Gazri Shemi Yamashech Ashulchanu. Maybe you'll follow the table. And what emerges in that story of Yochanan Acharoni? Ve'ka'amri, and the sages of Ziknei Beishamai told him, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, that you weren't yotzei sukkah at all. And that line, Tosis understands to mean, da'filo midaraisa lo kiyam, that the Chachamim, with their power, with the rabbinic power, they declared that not only weren't you yotzei the mitzvah on a rabbinic level, since we made that gzeira that you might be drawn after your sukkah, but they took away the Kiyama Mitzvah even on a Torah level. Again, you have to work out what Nafkaminat might have. So that's what they were trying to prove from that story, that when there's a rabbinic safeguard and you didn't follow the rabbinic safeguard, that they removed even the ability to fulfill the mitzvah on a Torah level. And that's what Rav Yosef meant by lo osa v'lo klum, that you didn't do anything, not on a Torah level, not on a rabbinic level, because once there's a rabbinic enhancement, they remove the kiyum even on a Torah level. And even though that was flipped, that was referring to where Beis Shammai wa machmir over Beis Hillel, the Tosis ends, umi de Beis Shammai nishma le Beis Hillel. From that case where Beis Shammai wa machmir, and they stated that you weren't Yotze at all, implying, the way Tosis explains, that you weren't Yotze even on a Torah level, Nishma, so from there we could derive in the opposite direction for Beis Hillel, that where Beis Hillel on Machmir on a rabbinic level over Beis Shammai's basic Torah core, that you're not going to be Yotze, not only on a rabbinic level will you not be Yotze, but you're not going to be Yotze on a Torah level. So again, to review, Tosis had two kashas from the Gemara in Brochus, and he answered both kashas. Kasha number one is, how could you prove, how are you proving that if you follow Beis Shammai, also lo klum, but they quote a story about following Beis Hillel, the opposite, that then lo also lo klum. And number two, why do you have to tell me that if you don't follow the halacha, that you're not Yotze? Of course, if you don't follow the halacha, not Yotze. So to that, he answers that no, there's an extra chiddush over here. The extra chiddush is that if you're not following a rabbinic requirement, you might have thought that you're Yotze on a Torah level. You're not just not Yotze on a rabbinic level. So Kamash Malan, that you're not Yotze at all. And in answer to the first kasha, why are we proving something from the flip case, is exactly the point, that just like in the case of Bishamay Amachmir, you're not Yotze at all, if according to Bishamay, if they're Machmir over Beis Hillel, so too, if Beis Hillel and Machmir over Bishamay, you're not Yotze at all, not on a rabbinic level, not on a Torah level. So this Chiddush of Tosis created tremors in the halachic world. Just as an example, the Prima Gaudium Beis Nistosis discusses what happens if you make Kiddush not on a cup of wine, because on a Torah level you don't need wine. On a rabbinic level you need wine. So it's quite possible, according to Tosis, And if you do that, you're not yotzei at all, not on a Torah level, not on a rabbinic level. It's a whole discussion about in the poskim about someone who davened on Friday night that is yotzei kiddush on a Torah level, and all kinds of calculations how that affects the idea and ability to be motzi others when he makes kiddush on a cup of wine. So the Prima got him right, but according to this Tosis, wait, maybe even if theoretically you could be yotzei on a Torah level by just declaring the Shabbos to be holy that you do in the davening. But maybe the Chachamim took away that ability to be Yotze based on the fact that it enhanced it with a cup of wine. And of course, it has many of the Nafkaminas as well. And it is certainly not necessarily true that everyone would agree to this Tosis on a simple level if the Chachamim make an enhancement. And they didn't necessarily take away the ability to be Yotze on a Torah level. Another Nafkamina could be for shofar. They said not to blow the shofar. What happens if you do blow it? Not to blow the shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. What happens if you do blow it? At least Yotzei Min HaTorah, the fact that you violated the rabbinic decree that you might come to carry, so therefore you're not even Yotzei on a Torah level. So the nafka meanings are quite vast, but this is the view of Tosis. As an addendum to this Tosis, both the Marsha and the Maram write that even though earlier on Tosis had distinguished between a Sukkah Ktana and a Sukkah Gdola, that only in a Sukkah Ktana the requirement of having a Sukkah to be 7 by 7 Tfachim in accordance with the view of Beis Shammai, only there Rav Amram would say the halacha is like Beis Shammai. But with a Sukkah Gdola, where it's a big Sukkah, and the table happens to be outside, that there Beis Shammai hold Yanat Yotze, because of the Gzeri, you might be Nimshach Achu Shulchano, you'll follow your table and accidentally get outside, and Mesul Hol says you are Yotze. The Tosis maintain that concerning that sukkah, we should follow the regular rules of following Beis Hillel, that you are Yotze. And he tried to prove it from the Gemara and Brachos, because there Rav Yosef said that if you follow Beis Shammai, lo asa v'lo klum, you're not Yotze at all. And then they proceeded to bring the proof from Rav Yochanan ben Acharoni. So the Marsha and the Maran point out that according to this reading of that Gemara, that it's not a direct proof, it's an indirect proof. We're not directly proving the point that the Psak is like Beis Hillel concerning the Sukkah Gedola with Rav Yochanan ben Acharoni, but rather bring an indirect proof that just like there, when Beis Shammai were more machmer than Beis Hillel, so they maintain that you're not Yotze at all, so too when Beis Hillel were more machmer than Beis Shammai, you're not Yotze at all. So could very well be that with the Sukkah Gedola, the Psak is like Beis Shammai. Where that in that kind of case, they're more machmen and Beis Hillel, and the Gemara seems to say that they rebuked Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharoni, and then it wasn't Yotze at all. So maybe the Psak of Rav Amram going that we should follow Beis Shammai concerning the issues of Sukkah. So maybe that's true not only for Sukkah Gedola, but even for Sukkah Gedola, not only for Sukkah Ketana, excuse me, but even for Sukkah Gedola, against what Tosa said earlier, as we mentioned before, that analysis would work better without the line of Halacha ki Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharoni. And even if we have that line, the Maram suggests that now Tosas is backing out and saying that line doesn't belong there. Because the proof is not from the line that the Psak is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharoni, which that line might not even properly exist. But the Psak is just like when Beis Shammai is Mamachmir and Beis Hillel, you're not Yotzei at all. So too, when Beis Hillel Mamachmir, you're not Yotzei at all, even on a Torah level. But in terms of that particular case of the table outside the Sukkah, maybe we actually do follow Beis Shammai. Again, La Halacha is Machlokes Rishonim. Everyone agrees that halacha we pass like Bishamah concerning the Sukkah Ketana, that you have to have a 7x7 Tvachim. But concerning whether or not we pass like Beis Shammai also, or not, or maybe like Beis Hillel, concerning whether or not if the table's outside the Sukkah, whether it can be Yotze that way or not, that's a machlokes Rishonim. The Rosh Paskins that like Beis Hillel, that you are Yotze, and the Ram and the Rif, and I think that's the way it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that you're not Yotze. So the Gemara had quoted a Braisa as an expansion of the discussion of the minimum shear of a sukkah. There was an opinion that has to be 4x4 amos, even though we don't follow that opinion. But the Gemara in this context quotes a Braisa, the Tanur Rabbanan, various halachas that only apply if a house is 4x4 amos. If it's less than 4x4 amos, the halacha doesn't apply. So the Braisa discussed mezuzah and makkah and goyim, or ichoma, and many other. So Tosafot points out there's not an exhaustive list. He quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi that there are other things that could have been listed as well. Yerushalmi Choshev, Yerushalmi includes reckons She'ein Tovel L'Maser, that a house that's less than 4x4 amos does not cause Tevel concerning Trumas and Maestros. Just very quickly, there are three significant states or halachic activities that have to be done in order for something to become Tevel Min HaTorah. And until such time as it's Tevel min haTorah, so rabbinically, you still have to take Trumas HaMaisis when you have a Sudas Keva, a fixed meal. When you have a snack, you don't have to, because on a Torah level, it's not Tevel. So you need some kind of minimum growth for some crops. That's a shlisha, a third of its growth, and you need some kind of gemar malacha, some kind of agricultural product where the food is now ready to be consumed, and you need something else. So one of six things. So of those six things, so the most famous of them is rias pnei habayis, when you bring it into the home. You bring it to the home, so that makes it chayiv min haTorah in terms of maestros and makes it into tevel. So that's what the Rishalmi is saying. Shein tovel amaser, that if you have a home that's less than 44 amos, it is not called a bayis with respect to that final stage in order to make it chayiv in terms of maestros min haTorah. Another nafkamina the Rishalmi gives, and know them in a bayis, when it takes a neder not to enter a home, or to benefit from a home. So a home is only, a house is only 4 by 4 amos. Less than 4 by 4 amos is called a hole in the wall and not a home, and therefore mutli kanis bone is allowed to enter. So now Tosis gives another nafkamina not quoted by the Yerushalmi nor by the Bible here in this brisa. Oh, Rav Pesach Beis Av. The Torah tells us that unlike regular adultery, which is a chi of chenek, that's the misa that's given to the those who sinned. But concerning a Nara HaMairasa, first of all, a Nara, and it was in the stage of Erisin, so there the punishment is Skila. And not only is it different from the regular Niyuv, from the regular adultery, that there's a different Misa, that it's a higher level, but it's also done Pesach Beis Av, is the Torah itself. Skilua Pesach Beis Aviyah. So in order to be able to give a Skila Pesach Beis Aviyah, it has to be a bias. So that bias has to be at least 4 by 4 Amos. If it's less than 4 by 4 Amos, then one would not be able to fulfill that halacha of Beis Av because it's not called a bais. Tell us the Maaslo Eruv. One of the nafkaminas is given in the Brisa that you need a house that's 4 by 4 amos is that the Eruv, as Rashi explains, in order to be able to carry, that even if everything is already Rosh HaSiyachid, but in order to be able to carry from the Rosh HaSiyachid of the house into the Chotzer, which is also Rosh HaSiyachid, but it's different usages, different ownerships. Really goes by who's using it. So the home is owned privately or used privately, and the chotzer is owned jointly. So it's considered on a rabbinic level as if it's a different rishus, and if you're not allowed to carry unless you make an eruv chatzeros where everyone contributes either directly or indirectly through zochlan shel, where one acquires it on behalf of everyone, some kind of challah, matzah, etc. Then they put it in one of the homes. So putting it in one of the homes, how big does that home have to be? At least 4 by 4 amos. But if it's less than 4 by 4 amos, says the Brice of Eimanichem Bo'eruv, you're not able to put the Eruv Chatzeros in that home. So Tos explains, Eimanichem Bo'eruv, L'chazi L'dira, that it's not fit for living. So now Tos has to answer a certain difficulty that could emerge from Eimach Lokis in Erevin, which runs as follows, just to give the background information there. He quotes the Mem Tesemet Aleph, and the Gemara quotes Machlokis between Shmuel and Rava as to whether or not Erev is Mishum Kenyan or Erev is Mishum Dira. And briefly explaining, according to Shmuel, everyone who's contributing the challah, or someone who acquires the challah on behalf of, grants the challah on behalf of everyone else through the process of Zochman Shavafanav, that by giving that challah, one, it's acting like cash. That one is purchasing rights to the one of the individual homes in the chotzer. That's what we call Eruv Mishum Kenyan. And therefore, it's considered as if everyone bought into one home. All the other homes are just like extra wings. So there's really only one home. All the other homes are not really considered the main home. And therefore, all the other homes are secondary to the one home where the Erev actually is, and together with the Chotzer. So it's like Reuven has a home and a backyard. So here, if Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, everyone owns that home, and they all are using the backyard, so then there's no need for an Erev because there's no Chiluk Rishuyos, there's no domain change between the home and the Chatzeros and the other homes. So that's called Kenyan, that they're like buying into the home. So that is the view of Shmuel. The view of Rabbah is Erev Mishum Dira. That it's not that you're buying it at home, that but since one of the main purposes of a home is to eat, So by putting the symbolic challah into one of the homes, so you're demonstrating that you live there. And the fact that you really are living and sleeping in another home, that's just for show. But reality is that symbolically, halachically, you follow your food, and the challah is the mainstay of your food, and that's as if where you live for that Shabbos, or as long as it's around. And therefore, once again, it's as if everyone's in that one home, and therefore there's no chilek rishoyos, there's no distinction between the domains, there's no need. And then you're able to carry from that home and all the other homes into the chotzer, because everyone's living in one home. So it's either Erev Shem Kenyan, Erev Shem Dir. The Gemara gives various nafkaminas there. One basic nafkamina is whether the chalas you're worth a pruta. If it's Mishum Kenyan, then you need it to be worth a pruta. If it's just Mishum Adira, so it just has to be edible food with the proper shear. So Tosis now explains that it's understandable, according to Rava, that Erev Mishum Dira, that the Erev Chalas, the Erev Matzahs, have to be in a home that is 4x4 amos, because people are not going to live in a home that's less than 4x4 amos. It's not called a dira. But according to Shmuel, the Omar, back to the words of the Tosis, the Omar referring to Misha Otsi'uhu, Erev Mishum Kenyan. So shouldn't it follow? Tosis is implicitly asking that you shouldn't need a home that's 4x4 amos, because all you need is to buy into something. If Erev is Mishum Dira, the way Rabbah holds, then we understand why it has to be a minimum of 4x4 amos in order to be able to place the Erev inside of it. Because it's about livability, and less than 4x4 amos is not livable. According to Shmuel, that it's Mishum Kenyan, so it's a technicality that you're buying into the home and surrendering to some extent your home for that purpose. So what does it matter how big it is? Tosis, that's what he explains. But feel Shmuel, that even according to Shmuel, this is Erev Mishum Kenyan. Second line of Tosis, lo miknu rishusayu mishvil bayis de lo chazi ledira. They're not going to be makne, their domain, meaning their domains, their homes. They're not going to surrender their homes to one person, mishvil bayis de lo chazi ledira, in deference to a home that's not even fit to live in. If it's less than 4x4 amos, it's not fit to live in. So they're not going to surrender their homes, and therefore to become as if they all live in one home, for a home that's less than 4x4 amos is not livable. And Tosis proves this point, that even Shmuel, the holds of Shem Kenyan, still has the notion of dira, of livability, on his halachic radar scheme. And the Chavisei Ashkan Hasam, and similar to this we find there, Shmuel Gufei, the Omer Abaye Shemenichem Bo Erev, Ein Tzarich Lidin Pas, that Shmuel himself holds that the home in which we are keeping the Eruv does not have to contribute a bread. My timer, what's the reason? Kulu Hacha Dairi, because if everyone is living there, so someone who's mamish living there doesn't have to contribute the bread. So what do you see from there? Vafal Pi, the Islay Tos continues, Eruv Mishum Kenyan, even though he holds the purpose of contributing the Chalas is not Mishum Dir, rather Mishum Kenyan. And they're surrendering their homes to the owner of one home. Eruvan, because since their Erev is in his house, so, and he's living there, so there's no need for him to contribute a challah, because he lives there. So you see that even Shmuel has the notion of Dira on his halachic radar screen, and so too, if it's a home that's less than 4x4 amos, no one's going to want to surrender their homes for such a house. That even Shmuel, who holds Erev Mishum Kenyan, still has the notion of dira to some extent in the halachas.